Good morning. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Thank you, Micah, for that. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. They have a Bible here. If you don't have one, raise your hand. They'll get one. What a privilege it is to be able to come and to share with you this morning from God's Word on some things that God has been teaching me. Like Jeff said, I'm from Life Action Ministries, just right there in Buchanan, Michigan. Travel with my four kids. In the bulletin, there's my wife. They asked for a picture of myself, and I told them I look much better with my wife next to me. So I put a picture there. This is my wife, Stephanie. If you want to stand, Stephanie. We married 8 years and have four wonderful kids. Haddon, who actually turns six tomorrow, and then Karis and Eliana and Selah. And it is a privilege to be able to travel with my family, travel about 9 months out of the year, live in a big RV trailer, and travel with my family, go into churches, and proclaim the Word of God to the churches for about a week or 2 weeks at a time, take about 25 college-age students with us, and just enjoy what God has allowed me to do and the privilege that I have. Now, the reason why Trent means a lot to me, when my wife and I were about to get married, Trent did my marriage counseling. And I still remember we met once with Trent, and then the second time Trent took me out to lunch, and he sat me down. I still vividly remember this. I was in Applebee's. He sat me down. He said, "Jeremiah, your marriage is not going to last." And I remember sitting there going, "What? Come on!" And he was right if the way I was headed. And but I still give Trent a hard time about that. That was his marriage counseling advice to me, that my marriage wasn't going to last. But Trent has been a dear friend. The last fall, my wife had Selah, and early on in the pregnancy, there were some complications, and so we couldn't go on the road last fall. And the reason why we were here all last fall, if some of you kind of say, "I kind of recognize that face, he's kind of been around here a little," is because all last fall we attended your church because Steph was having a baby at that time, and God, the great God that we had, did some incredible things, and the baby is totally healthy, and Selah is 8, 9 months old, and is a huge blessing. But it was just a joy last fall and last summer to be able to come to a church that was excited about Jesus. And I'll tell you, as I go into church after church after church, the life that you have here at your church is not like any other church. It's not like other churches that we go into. And if you're a visitor here, then you have found a great place, and I hope that you will continue to come, because God's hand is upon this church and is blessing it in many ways. And just the power of God showing through just the giving of God's people is an incredible thing. And it was such a joy to be able to come last fall and be able to come and sit under God's Word and wanting to come to church every morning and hear the music that Micah brings. And Micah numerous times led me into the power and the presence of God to be able to worship Him. And Trent's not a bad speaker either, so I enjoyed that. And to come and know that I would get the presence and the power of God here and know that Trent was going to go to the Scriptures and preach the Word of God was such a blessing. And so when Trent asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, it's a great honor and a great privilege to stand here before you, to open God's Word up and to share some truths that God has been teaching me. And you know, have you ever in your Christian life maybe felt defeated in your Christian life? You ever wanted to say, "Man, how can I be the father God has called me to be? Or how can I be the mother that God has called me to be? How can I be the person that God has called me to be in this Christian life?" Well, I want to talk to you today about a topic that I believe trumps all mistakes that we have made. I want to talk to you about a topic today that I believe trumps all failures and errors that you have made. I want to talk to you about a topic today that I believe trumps all weaknesses and inconsistencies. Because a lot of times, that's why we think we can't live this Christian life. We can't do what God has called us to do. Because, man, I've made all these mistakes. I've done all these things. I'm inconsistent. I have all these errors, all these failures. I want to talk to you a topic today that in the last 6 months has totally probably revolutionized my spiritual life. It's given me a new purpose and a peace and a perseverance to live this thing that we call the Christian life. And I want to talk to you today about grace. As Micah sang about grace, and really I have 2 points today. I want to talk to you a second about the saving grace of God, and then I want to dive in deep about the sanctifying grace of God. And what God has for us as a believer, as a church, how His grace is still continuing there. So let's jump into the Scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's read some verses here. It says in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working on the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let's pray together. Father, I know as you've laid this topic on my heart to share about your grace, Lord, I feel so inadequate because your grace is so amazing and so incredible. And God, with all my heart, I want to share with these people what it means to me and what it has done in my life. So God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open eyes, that you would convict and challenge and change lives for your glory, God. It is all for you, not for us. And God, we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, I want to say as I get going in this, I want to apologize to start with. Sometimes when I get excited about something, I start talking a little loud and I start talking really fast, okay? So I apologize to start with, but when I start thinking about the grace of God and what God has done because of his grace, it gets me excited. And there's an incredible thing here. Look here again in these first three verses. Every person at one time was in these first three verses in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in our trespasses of sin, and we formerly walked according to this course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were sons of disobedience. We indulged our flesh. And listen, if it wasn't for the next two words in verse 4, we would still be there today. But God. You see, we were dead in our trespasses of sin. We were there. And so let's stop for a second and just talk about the gospel. I don't want to rush on to the next point and talk about God's sanctifying grace until we understand, we realize what God's saving grace has done for us. You know, we live in a society, in a generation where the gospel is being attacked. And I praise God that you come through a church that proclaims the gospel unhindered, and Trent lays it out for you and lets you know truly what the gospel is. And you know, many people think, well, you know, I prayed a prayer and I came forward. Or maybe you witness, or maybe even read your Bible, but none of that means that you are saved. You can do all the good things that you want, but as we saw in Ephesians 2, verse 8, it's not because of works that we are saved. It's not because of the things that we have done. It's because only what Christ has done. So what is salvation? How do you get out of verses 1 through 3 and get into those verses 4 where it says, but God? How do you do that? Well, just shortly here, quickly, what is genuine salvation? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know these verses, but I just want to make sure we understand as we talk about the grace of God that has come and poured upon our life. All human beings have sinned. We have all come short of God's glory. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of your sin, we deserve to die and go to hell. The Word of God says it was our choices. We chose to sin as we walk this way. We deserve death. But there's another one of those buts in the Scripture. So I tell you, are just incredible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ said, listen, I see a human race that is headed towards destruction, headed towards hell, and I want to save them. I want to bring them out. And so I'm going to give them this free gift, which is Jesus Christ. And then it continues and says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As we were on our way to experiencing hell, God said, I'm going to send my only son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth. I'm going to demonstrate my love towards them. And while they're sinners, I'm going to save them. And then Romans 10:9-11 says this, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God says, listen, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. Some of you here in about a month are going to be baptized, and you're going to show your church and show the people that God has saved your life. You know, some of you today, maybe you still stand there, and you've never experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's nothing that you have done. It's because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. You know, we go into churches all the time, and it's amazing. I believe the more churches I go into, the more I realize that I think I sit or I stand and speak to people Sunday after Sunday that know nothing about the saving grace of God. They come to church, and they bring their Bible, and they may pray to prayer. They know all the spiritual things, but they have truly never given their heart and life to Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about that, why is that? Why are so many Christians, and I put that in quotes, because they call themselves Christians. What is it, 70% of Americans call themselves Christians? Let me tell you, if 70% of Americans were Christians, our nation would be different. According to how I see what Christians are supposed to act like, according to the Word of God. But why do so many Christians, we'll say, are not saved? Well, there are two things that came to my mind. First, because they're not surrendered. Because they never surrendered all. You see, we live in this society where this gospel is being preached that, you know, you can kind of pray this prayer and get your fire insurance, and then you're good. You kind of live how you want. You don't have to surrender everything. You can maybe do it a little bit later. Listen, that is not what the Word of God says. Look at this verse here in Galatians 2:20. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Okay, it doesn't say that, you know, part of you live, you gave part to Christ, and now part of you, no, it is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, it is nothing about me. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is your life, when you experience the saving grace of God, it is everything. You give all of your life. It's not part, it's not half, it's everything. A.W. Tozer said this, the Lord will not save those he cannot command. You know, you can't call him Lord and then tell him what to do. If he is truly your Lord and Savior and you're experiencing this saving grace of God, then listen, you're saying, Lord, what do you want? I am yours. You surrendered everything. I believe another reason why I think a lot of church people are not truly saved, even though they think they are, is because they're still clinging to their sin. You know, they're still clinging to what they believe. Hey, I'm not giving up this. You know, I'll pray this prayer, but I'm not giving up this. I'm not giving this in my life. I'm not giving up this in my life. It says in 1 John, and I'm sorry, it's a little hard to read. I'll read it to you. This is the Amplified Version because I like how the Amplified Version puts this in 1 John 3:6. It says, no one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, habitually commits and practices sin. John's saying, those who truly are saved, you're not going to deliberately, knowingly, and habitually, you're not going to continue to practice sin. Because you're not going to want to do that. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized or perceived, understood him, or have been experienced or acquaintance with him. Again, so many of us are still holding on to our sin. I love this quote. I love Spurgeon. My son is named after Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says this, Jesus Christ never saves us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. Doctor says the fool, make me well, but I'd like to keep my fever. How can a man be saved from his sins while he is clinging to his sin? What is salvation but to be delivered from sin? Sin lovers may seek to be saved, but they shall never be able. A lot of people are never experiencing the saving grace of God because they're not willing to give up their sin. Listen, I pray that you're not in verses 1 through 3 here today. And my prayer this morning and through this week was if you still are, then that today would be the day of your salvation. That today that you would come forward and you talk to one of your elders or one of your care group leaders and you say, listen, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus, everything. I don't want to cling to the sin anymore. I want to surrender everything to Jesus Christ. Not just half of me, it's all of me. God, I want to give it all. Now, I'm so grateful, again, the verses don't end there. And you know what? I believe that many have stopped right there when they come to talk about the grace of God. We say we have been saved by God's grace, but listen, church, you are also being sanctified by God's grace. You are also in this continuum, this process of the Christian life. What is grace? I believe God's saving grace, and you don't have to write this down, but God's saving grace was lavished upon my life, undeserved and unmerited. It was nothing that I did to receive it, and there is nothing that I could do to lose it. I am saved by God's grace. However, the waterfall of God's grace did not end there. No, it has only begun. He now continues to pour His grace upon my life day in and day out. Listen, church, it didn't just end at salvation. If you sit here today and you have truly been saved by the grace of God, it didn't just end there. We sing about God's grace, and a lot of times when we associate God's grace, we associate only with when God saved us, but it is there continuing like a waterfall being poured upon your life today. God's grace saved me at salvation, and it is God's grace that sustains me at salvation, at sanctification. It is sanctification, this grace of God that He continues to pour. Sanctification is the process of me becoming more like Christ that God has us in as believers. There was a verse a little about 3 or 4 months ago that God brought me to in Corinthians that totally just has shaken my world and understanding, this whole thing, what God calls His grace. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. It says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet no, not I, but the grace of God within me." You know, as I looked at that verse, I realized a lot of times in my Christian life, I want to do that middle part of that verse. Listen, I have labored. I can do the right things. I can make sure I get up and read my Bible. I can come to church every Sunday. And you know, I can do the right things, and I can labor for Jesus. I can witness. I can do all those things. But listen, if you don't understand the grace of God, your labor will become fruitless, and your labor will also become to a point where it's just like, I don't want to do that anymore. We just, you know, you ever come to a point when you work for God, and you work, and you work, and you just get burnt out? You sit there and go, why am I doing this? Why do I keep on striving? Why do I keep on coming to church every Sunday? Why do I need to witness to my friends? Why do I need to witness to my coworkers? Why do I need to be the godly husband? Why do I need to be this? And I realized God showed me that God's grace there is sandwiched in between our labor. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Therefore, I labor, but it's only because of God's grace. I tell you, a lot of times in my Christian life, I thought, you know, if I do the right things, if I work real hard and I'm really good, then I can come into God's presence. And if I do a little bit more good things and I'm good a little bit more, then God will let me, you know, sit on His lap. You know, mentally, this is kind of in my mind. And you know, if I do a little bit more good things, and man, I do, then God will kind of put His arms around me. Maybe He'll give me a kiss, and you know, I'll really experience His love then. Listen, that's not grace. God is showing me that God is running out, picking me up, wrapping me up, and holding me. That is grace. You see, it's because of God's sanctifying grace that is continually being poured upon my life that I can continue to live this Christian life. Let me give you a definition of what I believe sanctifying grace is. What is grace in the life of a believer? God's sanctifying grace is a sovereign work of God and the life of a believer that gives purpose, power, and promise in the process of becoming like Christ. It's God's work in our life as a believer that first gives us a purpose and then a power and a promise in this sanctification, this process of becoming like Jesus Christ. First of all, it gives us a power, it gives us a purpose. So Jeremiah, what do you mean by that? You know, we see there that the Apostle Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the verse before, he says that he is an apostle. Paul is saying, by God's grace, this is who I am. My identity is because of God's grace. What God has called me to do is because of His grace. I am what I am because of God's grace. I have a purpose in my life because of God's grace. Listen, we live in a world today that is looking for a purpose. I mean, you can look at it in our media. You can look at it in the Hollywood figures. You can look at it in our sports figures. Where are they looking? They're trying to find a purpose in life. And some people try to find a purpose through drugs. Some people try to find a purpose through sex. Some try to find a purpose through money. And they're trying to find a purpose to fill this void that is in their life. But listen, church, the only thing that will fill that void is Christ. And when Christ died upon the cross, he poured his grace into our life. And because of that, I am what I am because of the grace of God. Listen, you don't have to go trying to find a purpose. God has given you a purpose in life. The reason why I can stand here today and preach, the reason why God has called me to be a minister is because of the grace of God. The reason why you do what you do as a believer, the reason why you can exist is because of the grace of God. Don't lose that. If you lose that, then you're going to labor and all your labors are going to go in vain. You're going to get burned out. But if you go to work tomorrow realizing that God has called me to work here and it's because of his grace, I can live for him and I can become more like him because of his grace, it will give you a new zeal and a new passion to live because you have a purpose to live. And we walk among many people today that don't have a purpose in life. You have a purpose because of the grace of God. Not only do you have a purpose, but you also have power. You have power. God gives me power to do good things. This verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8, says this. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance in every good work. You know what that is saying? That God gives us the power to do every good work that we do. And what is that power that is poured on our life for us to do it? Grace. And you sit there and say, Jeremiah, I can't live this Christian life. You know, I can't be the wife God's called me to be. I can't witness to my coworkers. You know, I can't lead my children like I'm supposed to lead. I can't do it. That's right, you can't. But because of the grace of God, you can. You see, because of the grace of God, the power that God has put upon your life, listen, Satan wants you to think that you're a defeated believer. He wants you to think that you will never get victory over that problem or that you're never going to be a witness to those coworkers. There's no way you can ever stand up for Christ here. And he wants you to think that you're defeated. He does not want you to realize that God has given you the power to live the Christian life. God has given you the strength to live this life for him. God has given you this power, and it comes because of God's grace. Listen, you are a conqueror through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. And when Christ died upon that cross, what did he do? In Ephesians 1, it says he lavished his grace upon your life. Because you have the grace of God in your life as a believer, we have the power. Satan does not have victory over us anymore. So walk in it. Dance in it. Live in it. What is it for you? What is it right now that you are feeling defeated in the Christian life? What is it that you're just thinking, I can't do this? Maybe it's your marriage and you're just ready to give up. Maybe you're just ready to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this with my kids. I can't do this at work. I can't stand up and stand up for Christ anymore. Listen, look and say, God, I can't. But because of your grace, I can. It is the grace of God that allows you, that gives you the power to live the Christian life. So embrace it and live in it. Don't walk out defeated. It's like going to church after church. There's so many believers. I believe they're just living a defeated Christian life. And when you read the scriptures, God says, what are you doing? I've given you the power. It is there. Walk in it. Live in it. Because of God's grace. Gives us the power and then the promise. I'm saved by the grace of God. And listen, that grace never stopped coming. The promise that I know that someday I will spend eternity with him in heaven. God's grace wasn't just poured upon my life in salvation, but is continually being poured upon my life in sanctification, which makes me realize that I'm on my way to heaven. And there's a promise there that God will never stop pouring his grace upon my life. This kind of helped me as I started to think about God's grace. I started to think of God's grace as a waterfall. This is a waterfall out in Washington. But as I think about it, I think of myself standing underneath that waterfall. You know, that waterfall has never stopped. It's continually just being poured out. And when I think of God's grace, I think of myself just standing underneath the waterfall and just letting it pour upon my life. Ephesians 1 says, God has lavished his grace upon me. And I'm just standing there. And it's just pouring upon my life. But let me tell you what many believers are doing. Can you imagine if I would stand underneath the waterfall and then I'd look around and I'd ask you, you know, I am just really thirsty. Will someone give me something to drink? You know, you don't stand under a waterfall, a fresh waterfall, and say, man, I'm thirsty, I need water, give me something to drink. I just don't know if I can live this anymore. I'm just dehydrating, I need something. But listen, that's what we as believers are doing. As we stand under the waterfall of God's grace, and we're sitting there going, I just can't live the Christian life. I can't love my spouse. I can't do this at work. I can't do this anymore. And God's saying, I am pouring my grace upon you. I am pouring my power upon you so that you can do it. You just got to embrace it. One of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 8. And I'm not going to take time to go through this, but if you want to flip over there real quick, I'll sort of run through this in seriously like 2 seconds. Because I want to try to overwhelm you with God's grace just for a second here. And then we'll be done. Romans chapter 8. The word grace is not used in this chapter at all. But listen, this is an incredible illustration of what God's grace does. And what God's grace, I believe as you read this passage, God's grace is screaming, is crying out, this is who you are as a believer. So look at this. Look and see what God's grace is. First of all, in verse 1, it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Grace cries out that I am innocent. Listen, there's no condemnation. Satan's going to try to tell you that you have all these problems and all this, but God says, no, you are innocent because of my blood. In verses 2 to 4, we see that grace cries out freedom. We no longer live after the flesh. We no longer are under the law. It says in Romans 6 that I am now free from sin. Listen, sin does not have power over your life as a believer. There is still the presence of sin that is there, and someday when we get to heaven, that will be gone too. But the power of sin was defeated at the cross, and grace cries out, you are free. In verse 6, grace cries out that I have peace. I have peace with Christ now. In verses 9 through 14, grace cries out that I have a helper. Who is that helper? It is the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said in John, he said, I must go so that the Holy Spirit will come. He said, it is better that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living inside your life. You have the Holy Spirit there to help you live this thing that we call the Christian life. Grace cries out adoption. Verses 14 through 15, we see that we are adopted by the Father. He has come and he has adopted us. He took us out of that miry pit, and he took us and he put us in the palace. He gave us his name, and now we are adopted. Verses 17 says, the grace cries out, we are heirs. Heirs with Christ. Listen, not only did God adopt you and put you in his throne and put righteous robes upon you, no, but he said you are also an heir. You're one of mine. Grace cries out, redemption. Verses 18 through 25, it cries out redemption. It cries out that he is going to come back someday. He is not just going to leave us here. He is going to come back and he is going to restore this earth and restore our lives. Grace cries out intercessor. The Holy Spirit is there to be our intercessor. He is there to take over. He is there to pray even when you don't know how to pray. Grace cries out purpose. Romans 28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. What is our purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. Grace cries out purpose. Grace cries out glorified. Not only will you be justified, but you will also be glorified. Grace cries out conqueror. We looked at that in verse 37. We are more than a conqueror, and grace cries out loved. I love this verse. Look at this verse. For I am convinced neither life nor death, verse 38, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, it starts there with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. There is no separation. God will love us, and it is because of His grace that He will continue to show that love to your life. You say, Jeremiah, that was a little overwhelming. You just went through like 12 points in like 2 minutes. Listen, God's grace is overwhelming. You know, right when you start to think that you start to understand God's grace, or right when you start to think that, man, God's grace is amazing, listen, you've only begun. You've only begun. God's grace is amazing. Listen, God's grace is not something that you have to ask for. It's not something that you have to earn. No, God is lavishing His grace upon you right now as a believer. The question is, are you going to embrace it? Are you going to walk in it? Are you going to choose to live in it? Will you live in God's grace? You are standing under the waterfall of God's grace. Will you live in it? Will you live in it? Right now, in your life, what is it that you need to embrace the grace of God for? What is it right now that you say, listen, I know we all have our needs. We all have our struggles. You know, it's easy to come to church and put on our little mask. Pretend that our life is kind of perfect. Pretend that we don't have any of those. But I've gone to church after church after church. I realize that we all have our needs. And today, maybe you need to sit there today and say, God, Your grace is amazing. I need Your grace. Let me end with this. First of all, if you've never experienced the saving grace of God, will you come to Christ today? Maybe as I've talked about God's grace, you sit there and say, man, that's never been true about my life. You maybe prayed a prayer, you maybe walked an aisle, but maybe you sit here today and say, I don't know Christ. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd spend eternity in heaven. Listen, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. When we close here, there are going to be some of the elders up here. I pray that you'll come and talk to one of them. That you'd find Mike or find Jeff and say, listen, I need Jesus. I played the game, but it's not real here. I've never given everything to Christ. And I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. Now for those who sit here today, and you truly are saved, you're defeated right now, though, and you're being beat up in the Christian life. Will you embrace the waterfall of God's grace today? It's there. Will you embrace it? God is dumping it on your life. God wants you to live a victorious Christian life. Is it because of anything that we do? No. It is nothing that we can do. It is only because of Christ and what He has done for us. But will you stop trying on your own strength, on your own power, and say, God, I need You. God, I need to embrace this grace that You are pouring on my life. And God, I want to live victorious because of You. Will you pray with me for a second? Will you just bow your head and close your eyes? Mike is going to sing here in a second, and I'm going to pray. But before we do, will you go to God? Will you go to God with what you're struggling with right now? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a career. And say, God, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. I can't live the Christian life. God, I can't be holy. God, I can't do it. God, I need Your grace. I need Your grace. I can't be faithful. I need You. Will you embrace that grace today? said, Jeremiah, will everything just change if I do that? Listen, it's going to be a daily thing of you getting up and saying, God, I need you. Thank you for your grace. As you go to work tomorrow, God, I need you. Thank you for your grace. As that family member ticks you off, as you say, God, I need you. Thank you for your grace. Day in and day out. It's a mindset that we change. Don't let Satan make you believe that you're defeated. No. The grace of God is being poured upon your life. Live in it, dance in it, embrace it for His glory. And again, if you do not know Him in saving grace, will you please make it today the day of your salvation? Don't play the game any longer. Come. Come and talk to one of us. Let us show you how you can truly have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Come. Father, I come before you. And God, I feel like I did very little justice to what your grace is truly. But God, I thank you. That is amazing grace. Christ, thank you for what you did for us on the cross. And God, I lift up to you this church here, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would take this church and that you would use it for your glory. And God, I know if that is going to be the case, then there are going to be believers in this church who are going to rest and live in your grace. Lord, that you're going to make a difference in this community because you have given them the power to. You have given them the power to witness to their coworkers. You have given them the power to have a godly family. You have given them the power to have godly marriages. God, I thank you that you dump your grace upon us. God, I know it doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. God, I know it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. Because you also give us the grace to go through tough times, to go through difficult times. And I know probably some are going through that right now. So God, I pray that you give them the grace. Or I know you have given it to them. God, I pray that they would embrace it. For your glory, God, for your honor and your praise. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.